Hello and welcome to the Southwesterners Forum. We're joined today by Southwesterner Dr. Malcolm B. Yarnell III, Research Professor of Theology here at Southwestern Seminary. Today, we'll be hearing from Dr. Yarnell about his latest book, Word, which is the second in his series, Theology for Every Person.
All right, Southwesterners, it is a joy to be back with you this month and to have the opportunity to discuss with one of the leading thinkers in our world and in our space, not only at Southwestern Seminary, but across denominational life and, though he would be embarrassed for me to say this, I would argue Christendom. So that's my argument. I'll just leave that there for you, Dr. Yarnell, and let you deal with that in your heart. Today, we are joined by Dr. Malcolm Yarnell. Now, Dr. Yarnell is very well known. He follows in the tradition of Southwestern over decades and fits in so nicely. Dr. Yarnell serves as research professor in the School of Theology, teaching systematic theology, historical theology, and writes like it's all he does. It's amazing what the Lord is using him to do. Dr. Yarnell, good morning and thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. I also like to dabble in preaching and New Testament theology. So, theology is a vast enterprise because it considers God and everything created by God, which is everything. And so,
right. And you're a teaching pastor, right? Which church are you a teaching pastor at?
I'm also teaching pastor at Lakeside Baptist Church in Granbury, Texas. So I do that part-time, but it keeps me fresh in the life of the local church, which I have discovered through the years provides some synergies, both for the local church and also for the ministers who are being called into the local churches and into the mission field. And so I find it quite helpful to keep one foot in a local church part-time, but my primary role is as a professor at Southwestern Seminary.
Yeah, when I talk about the legacy and the heritage of Southwestern and how you reflect that so well, one of my heavy emphasis in that is the fact that you are tethered to the local church and engaged in practical ministry while you're engaging at the highest academic level. That's a hallmark of what it is to be a Southwesterner, and very few embody it as well as you do. So thank you for modeling, thank you for engaging, and thank you for serving the bride of Christ in the way that you do, both locally in your context and globally through your academic pursuits, writing, and value add to the work in theology. So this morning, we're actually going to be talking about one of those works. My favorite conversations with you have been how you go from teaching in the highest level PhD class, where you're pushing thinkers, to how you swing into the practical space in the local church. And the latest series that you are writing is an effort at just that thing. Could you tell us a little bit about your series, Theology for Every Person?
Yeah, so it's an attempt to make sure that the academy is serving the people of God, the people in the local churches. And so my hope is to invite every Christian into the journey of knowing God. And I do believe with Erasmus, with William Tyndale, that all of us should be reading Scripture. All of us, therefore, are theologians, because Scripture reveals God. And so my hope in this series is to invite people into the journey. And so I use the imagery of a journey towards God, which, by the way, is a longstanding imagery that extends into the New Testament. And from there, through the early church, through the Middle Ages, through even early Baptists like John Bunyan with his Pilgrim's Progress, which, if you've never read, by the way, is a fantastic theological treatise, as well as an indication of a personal journey. So I work through the doctrines of Scripture, the teachings of Scripture, in a systematic format, but at a hopefully accessible style of language and content to really introduce people to the wonders of who our God is and what he has created and is doing with his world.
Yeah. Now, the latest version or the latest iteration that is coming out is this book right here, Theology for Every Person, Word. About a year, 2 years ago now, your first book in this series came out called God. So what is God about, which is a funny way to pose the question, and what is Word about, and then what can we expect in the next set of the series?
Well, you know, I belong to the Christian tradition, understood in the great tradition of classical Trinitarianism. So this is a series that is intentionally oriented from and toward God, the Trinity. And so the first volume is entitled God, and its purpose is to introduce you to the truth that God really exists, who he is in his being, in his attributes, who he is as Trinity, and how he reveals himself both in nature to all people, which makes us accountable to him, but also the special revelation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which saves those who believe in him. And so God is an introduction into theology for the average reader. And then the second volume, Word, takes us from a picture of God to looking at the Son of God, the Word of God, is the language of John and Paul, the Word of God who became flesh, who dwelt among us, who died on the cross and arose from the dead, and who will one day return in his glory to finally establish in its manifestation his kingdom. And then the third volume is going to be entitled Spirit. So there is actually a Trinitarian format to the series. It is God, Word, and Spirit. And so the final volume, by the way, will move on from the Christological center of our faith, which is Word, into the doctrines of the Holy Spirit, of the kingdom of God, of salvation and the Christian life, of the doctrine of the church, and then finally the doctrine of the end. And so it's really the whole gamut of systematic theology, but presented as a journey with and toward God.
Wonderful. Well, at near the end, I want to talk about how pastors and ministers listening to this forum can leverage this series of books in the context of their local church. We'll talk about that later. If anyone doubted the veracity of the claim that Dr. Yarnell is a leading writer-thinker in this subject and in others, you would have to look no further than his other works. One of the things I appreciate is that most of them are the same size. This is a very limited selection, but they look right on the shelf together. You've written works called God, the Trinity. You were a contributor and editor for Special Revelation in Scripture, Shapers of the Southwestern Theological Tradition. Dr. Yarnell, not to gas you up to say what some of the kids say these days, but you're a leading thinker in this space. But along the Southwestern tradition, on the back cover of the latest book, you say this: if theological study only results in knowing abstract truths, we are not doing it well. What do you mean by that? And what's the aim of a statement like that as we're thinking about theological truths?
Yeah, so I think it's easy for those of us who are in the academy and for others who are intellectually oriented to move into abstractions. And I want to remind myself and others that true theology is very concrete. We have to do with God, and God is presenting himself to us in the face of Jesus Christ, and we know this through the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And so my attempt is to, yes, I deal with the abstract, but I always want to, as you described Southwestern Seminary's goals earlier, I want to make sure that we understand that the truth of who God is and his word and his spirit, that this one truth has very real consequences and applications. Our God is a real God, a true God, and he encounters us in the human being we know as Jesus Christ. And we can know of him today through his word, the written word of God, and because of the internal work of the Holy Spirit. And so I'm always trying to make sure that our abstract philosophical ruminations are constantly being ruled and regrounded in who God is, particularly in who God is in Christ.
Okay. So in this work, you make that effort, helping us understand who Christ is and why it matters functionally for us in the living out and living in. Why then does chapter one start with God the Father?
Yeah,
it's a book on the Word, and you kick us off by going to God the Father. You already had that from the first book. Help us understand why.
Yeah, so the first book was, you know, introduce the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. But it remains true that we do not know the Father apart from the Son, and the Son is eternally related to the Father. So to understand the Son, you must understand who the Father is. God, who is one, is also three, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And the Father is the source, to use language of the early church fathers, or the origin eternally of the Son and the Spirit. So to get a proper view of the Son, one must begin with the Father. But once one begins with the Father, one also deals with the Son. You know, God is one. He is Trinity, but you never encounter the Son apart from the Father and the Spirit apart from the Son and the Father. And so it is actually an attempt to remind us that we are dealing with God, who is eternally Father and Son and Holy Spirit. And so that's why I think it's important to ground ourselves in the doctrine of God the Father and God the Son as we speak of the Word of God.
Awesome. Obviously, everything that we do at Southwestern, everything you do, is based upon the authority and the sufficiency of Scripture, who is Jesus from the revealed Word, revealing himself to us in that. But you also, as a historical theologian, take a step back and say, what does church history say about this topic? And you weave that in to all of your works. Why is it important to balance the history of this and history of thinking on the person of Jesus Christ with the scriptural revelation of Christ? Help us understand why you mesh those together so intimately.
You know, this was understood pretty much by all Christian theologians from the early church through the Middle Ages, through the Reformation, into the post-Reformation period. But after the Enlightenment, human beings began to think that they had progressed to the point that they were actually somewhat superior to believers and others in the past. And really, we know that God unites every believer with Christ by faith, and that the Spirit is given to every believer. And so with Gerhard Ebeling, who by the way, was responding to the loss of the Christian faith by so many Germans that ended up, by the way, being in the horrors of the Holocaust made so evident, he reminds us that church history is a laboratory of theological interpretation of Scripture. So TIS, theological interpretation of Scripture, is my language, but that's what he was intending to say. So if you want to interpret Scripture directly, you don't read the Bible by yourself. You need the Spirit to understand and to illumine God's Word to you, but you don't read the Bible on your own. You read it with other believers. Other believers, primarily in your local context, but also within the history of the church. So we need to consult Christians from all times and all places, because they too are trying to understand who God is and what God is doing. I think it would be an act of pride on our part of unmitigated hubris to think that we, or I in particular, somehow have all the answers. And so not that church history is authoritative or sufficient. It is not. Scripture is authoritative and sufficient. But church history, we learn from others how they read the Bible, and we can learn from them.
I love that. Your particular call out of, and it would be an act of hubris and pride. One of the dangers of theological study and pursuit is the puffing up of self. And one of the distinctives in the Southwestern heritage is our desire, and this is ironic, I'm pointing it out, but a desire for personal piety and humility under submission and authority of the Scripture. So that balance is just so beautifully represented across everything that you're talking about.
Can I mention this with regard to the piety? Reviewers have come back to me and noted that at several points, I present the gospel and call for faith. Mm-hmm. I remind us that we are all sinners, that we are all created in the image of God, but that we have fallen and that we need to be renewed in our relationship with God. And therefore, there is a strongly pietistic emphasis in these books, because I think that's what true Christianity does. It calls us to personal faith in Jesus Christ. The longest chapter, by the way, in Word, and it will probably be the longest chapter in the whole series, is on the gospel of Jesus Christ.
I love it. I'm so thankful for it, so thankful for B&H partnering with you and getting this out to everyone. Okay, this book deals with the person and work of Jesus Christ, but the last chapter is, who do you say that I am? Obviously, it's the most important question that we can answer, but why? Why is it so important and the kind of the capstone on this particular volume?
You know, whenever Jesus gathered the disciples at near Caesarea, he was adamant about prompting them to consider who he is. And so he asked the disciples, you know, who do people say that I am? And they said, well, you know, Elijah, or maybe even John the Baptist, one of the prophets. And he said, but who do you say that I am? And that's a very personal, directed, pointed question. And it's a question that each of us must answer. Who do you say that I am? And for Peter, he recognized that Jesus is the Christ, which is a reference to the messianic king expected by Israel. So Jesus is the Christ that Israel has been expecting, that the Old Testament prophesied would come. The Son of the living God, he continued, which indicates not only who he is as a human being and his office. So Jesus is his personal human name. Christ is his human mediatorial office. But he is the Son of the living God, which points us to the truth that this man, this one person, is also divine. He is God. And so holding these, if you will, these three truths together is absolutely important. Romans 10, 1 Corinthians 12, so many other passages emphasize that the primary Christian confession is Jesus is Lord. Jesus, this man, is Yahweh, the Lord God. And so we understand that this one person, Jesus Christ, is, to use the language of the Council of Constantinople, or excuse me, of Chalcedon, this one man is truly God and truly man, truly divine and truly human. And you cannot confuse his deity and his humanity. You cannot rip his deity from his humanity. You cannot change his humanity or his deity. You must hold to the truth that Jesus Christ is God and man, and moreover, that he died on the cross and arose from the dead, therefore opening the way for us to be atoned with God, to have an eternal relationship to be with God, to see him forever. And so it's absolutely necessary for us to identify God and not to fall into various errors. So chapter 4 discusses many of the errors that occurred in the early church with regard to identifying who Jesus is. Chapter 13 really taps into a number of other errors from throughout history, especially into the modern period with such things as celestial flesh and that the quests for the historical Jesus, all those types of things.
Okay. All right. I've got 3 pop quiz questions that we didn't prepare for, okay? So the first one is, how do you envision this series, a theology for every person, Word, God, Word, and Spirit, to be used and leveraged for the benefit of the local body of Christ all over the U.S. and the world, perhaps?
Yeah, you know, several churches are already using these books, and I wrote them such that they can actually be worked through in a quarter. So they're each 13 chapters. They have an introduction that hopefully pulls the reader in, some biblical explanation, some historical review, then trying to take all this truth that we have been working toward and bring it together into a systematic conclusion. And then each chapter ends with 3 questions to prompt, to really get at the heart of the chapter. And then finally, some suggested resources for further reading. And so it's an attempt to help bite by bite the reader, the church, work through the truths about God.
I love the thoughtfulness in the practical deployment of this in a quarter setting. I just think it models so much that's who we are, and it makes me really happy. If you're looking for this particular work, I know we will be giving some away at the Southern Baptist Convention annual meeting, and Dr. Yarnell will be there if you want to talk about the book as well. How else could people get this book, Dr. Yarnell?
Well, you know, all the major retailers are going to be able to have it, but they... I understand the best price is available through Lifeway, lifeway.com. So it's published by one of the Lifeway publishers, B&H, but you can also get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, other places as well.
All right, so here's last 2 questions. Here we go. You ready? What are you working on right now for your local church? What are you preparing? What are you preparing to teach? What are you preparing to engage in? And what are you working on writing in your academic space right now? What's on your desk right now?
Right now? Well, I'm looking at... So what I'm working for the local church... So the way that I have been writing these books is for the local church.
Yeah.
But in my own local church context, I have taken portions of these books and worked through it with the lay people in my church. Now, I'm an academic... And I can bring all sorts of language to a text. That was the way I was taught when I was at Duke and Oxford. So it can be a very informative, but also very thick and robust way of writing, which can be challenging. And so I learned through teaching in the local church where I need to back off on the high language and really emphasize the practicality of what we're dealing with, of who God is and who His Word is and who His Spirit is. And so in the local church, I take portions of these books that I've been working on. And so for the time being, you know, like just recently, I preached on Jesus Christ. And then I also preached on the doctrine of salvation. And we had revival breaking out in the classroom repeatedly because our salvation and who Christ is are utterly important to believers. And what am I writing for the academy? These same books can be used in an academic context.
Yep.
But I have been writing also. I love engaging in biblical theology, in historical theology, in systematic theology. Most recently, I have been writing several articles on the doctrine of the Trinity and why there's a need for a recovery of the doctrine of the Trinity in contemporary evangelicalism.
Okay. the best part about Southwestern Seminary are the faculty that the Lord has blessed us with. And Dr. Yarnell, you are such evident proof of that. So thank you so much for how you engage here. Thank you for your leadership. Thank you for your contribution to the kingdom through your academic pursuits and your investment in the next generation. I was blessed to have one of your doctoral candidates preach our students Disciple Now weekend and just saw the ties to what you do in the classroom come out in my local church setting. And my daughter was blessed by it and actually called to international missions over that weekend. So thank you, because I can draw a direct line from this man's faithful preaching of the text to his preparation at Southwestern with you. So I'm very grateful for you, sir. So thanks for this time. And if you, anyone listening, have students that would love to enroll at Southwestern Seminary and study with fine men like Dr. Yarnell, go ahead and direct them to our website where they can begin an application and sign up for their first class next semester with Dr. Yarnell. My only recommendation is you tell them to be ready for that class, because it is no slack. All right. Dr. Yarnell, have a great day. Thank you so much, sir.
And thank you for having me and for giving the professor a pop quiz.
I love it. Loved it. So you passed flying colors. So,
well, thank you.
Thanks for joining us for the Southwesterners Forum, and we'll see you next time.